Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, again reflecting on the
You there? Okay, I didn't hear you. Okay, so picking up where we left off, technology is misbehaving. We have these controversies, you know, picking up, discussing these controversies, what we see happening in America in reflection of Independence Day, defining terms. We need to define terms. You know, when you look, for example, at the Declaration of Independence, what does it say? In Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. The 13 United States of America. So it's as simple as the pronunciation, as Lee Brobst would say, of the word the, and others, of course, the and the, or, so the 13 United States versus the United States, capital U. So you have the 13 lowercase u, United States of America, United States, capital S, of America, capital A, versus the capital U, capital S, United States. Let's define terms. Is there a difference? Let's define terms. All of these controversies are brought to bear intentionally. When you really get down to brass tacks, there is intrigue, deception, or gain or advantage, as I would put it, and that to me is, that should be kind of the encapsulation of the definition of Machiavellianism. Intrigue and or deception for gain and or advantage. So these controversies are brought to bear intentionally to divide and conquer, and that is just one. We need to define terms. We need to understand these things. We need to bring these controversies out into light. The 13 United States of America. It's the same thing. We conflate things and we just persist in the cognitive dissonance of the logical fallacy that these things are the same, and they're not. That's why these controversies are brought to bear, to create the confusion, to allow the deception to persist. Part of the parlor trick, part of how the sleight of hand works. While people bicker, the deception continues on. The fraud continues on. The defrauding of the people and their posterity continues on. Let's bring the logical fallacies and the conflating of terms out into full view, out into full light, and then let's keep a watchful eye on those who would try to plunge us back into some kind of occluded, mysterious conflating of terms. Israel and Israel is a perfect example. The biblical Israel and this modern geopolitical contrivance are not synonymous. They're just not. One is Jacob's descendants, the former, I should say, the biblical Israel is Jacob's descendants. He had his name changed to Israel by God himself, and those people became his descendants. That is predominantly who comprises Israel. It's that simple. And you come forward to today, And you have this place, this modern geopolitical contrivance, that has really no direct connection to that Israel. Furthermore, we get in trouble when we start to examine and explore this Jewish people that's mentioned. Who are they? And the world, based on the world's definitions, these people are predominantly comprised of the Ashkenazic and Sephardic, what are called Jews. But I would argue that's an oxymoron to call Ashkenazic and Sephardic people Jews. Ashkenazi Jew, Sephardic Jew. That, to me, is an oxymoron. Because what direct connection do they have to Shem specifically? Because the word anti-Semite or anti-Shemite etymologically derives from Shem, meaning Shem's descendants. You are anti-Shem and his descendants, anti-Semitic or anti-Shemitic. You don't like Shem's descendants. How are they connected to Shem? Heber, the Hebrews, Judah, those folks. Jesus, you see, the line of the tribe of Judah. It's interesting. We don't talk about these things, and the Bible gets marginalized, but all of that is in there. Who is reading that book for themselves? Who is going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and getting the secret decoder ring for themselves, the Holy Spirit? Because if you read 1 Corinthians 2, you will see that it's not going to make sense without that, what I call secret decoder ring, the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit guiding you. Because it's, as is phrased there in 1 Corinthians 2, ultimately, and again, translations, that's another contrived controversy. It's spiritual thoughts and words. Spirit talking to spirit, that's really what emerges from that reading experience, reading, praying, meditating on the Word of God, so to speak. It's spiritual thoughts and words, spirit talking to spirit, Spirit of God talking to you, your spirit. So it's the whole, sure, there is an importance to the translations. I will not deny that importance. However, it's not as pivotal as it's made out to be, I would say, because if God is strong enough to create the universe and the world that we live in, then he's probably strong enough to get a message to whom he wants, when he wants, how he wants. So I think that's another contrived, misdirectional controversy. Anyway, we need to be defining terms. And getting to the heart of the matter on these conflicts, I thought it was interesting. You know, I want to get back to the story that I mentioned. You know, I've had conversations with folks speaking of the advancing flag, and basically the you know, if you're out in the civilian world, why would the advancing flag apply? People get convinced or conned into believing that the advancing flag is a good thing. Do you realize that the advancing flag is not defense? If we're going to call it the advancing flag, then let's call the Department of Defense the Department of Offense. Let's just be honest, then. Let's define terms. Because if it's an advancing flag, it's going out conquering and to conquer, isn't it? It's advancing. It never retreats. Well, what does that mean? It's empire. It's conquest. It's imperialism. What it is. Let's call it what it is. So let's call the Department of Defense the Department of Offense, and let's call DARPA, ORPA, the offensive, or Offense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Let's be honest about these things. Let's define terms. Let's properly define terms. Not conflate things, not redefine things in an effort to mislead people and occlude the facts and reality, and then help Google establish its mini-true with the knowledge vault. and all of this goofy nonsense. Let's get to the bottom of this contrived controversy and then hold people's feet to the fire who try to reassert these fallacies and these controversies. We have the ability in this society to be the most enlightened people the world has ever known. Do we not? With the technology, we could truly sift through all of these lies and yarns that are spun and referred to as the establishment narrative. It's unbelievable. And you can't, it's because the minds are so inured, so gelded, so crippled, so weakened in a variety of ways, by a variety of means, it's difficult to even communicate with people on these things. I know you've probably experienced it. I certainly have. Yeah, you know, in a post 9/11 world, yeah, you know, funny that the whole Building 7 discussion, people, you know, and then to me, the smoking gun that I always like to refer to, the evidence of opportunism, to say the least, or the evidence of one of the best evidences of, I guess a few things, best evidence of what's the word I'm looking for? Premeditated. I think the best example of premeditated is what I would call premeditated opportunism. How about that? Crime or the situation planned in advance to create opportunity. And again, Rahm Emanuel's words come to mind, obviously. I always want to play that. You never want to let a perfectly good crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do something that you could not do before. 9/11 certainly provided a number of those kinds of opportunities. The psychological inurement that resulted, anyway. So premeditated opportunism. To me, good examples are Building 7. Building 7 comes down. So you put these things together, but you can't talk about these things to a number of people because of the inurement. It's difficult, certainly. Building 7 comes down. It's virtually impossible to deny that was premeditated from a variety of angles. The fact that mainstream news, BBC News, said it had come down before it came down. The fact that it had virtually no damage. It had minor circumstantial debris damage, and suddenly collapses into its footprint. The fact that what's his name? You know, Larry Silverstein, you know, the insurance, the fact that he made the statement to, you know, he said we made the decision to pull it, and said that on during an interview. If all of these things, Building 7 collapses, it was premeditative. So if it collapsed and it was a case of controlled demolition, which it clearly was, then if Building 7 had been wired in that fashion, why not the other two? Why not the Twin Towers? Logically, that seems to stand to reason, no? But furthermore, I always think it's interesting that the Rand Corporation published that monograph preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security. Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security. Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, concepts, issues, and what was the full title? Concepts, issues, and options. Isn't that funny? So before September 11, 2001, the soundbite, you know, to use the word homeland would make folks want to click their heels, raise their hand, and say, Sieg Heil. You know, in a very harsh German accent. The Heimatland. Then suddenly, just weeks after September 11, 2001, George Bush appoints Tom Ridge Secretary of Homeland Security. And suddenly this bureaucracy and infrastructure just emerges out of nowhere within weeks. But you look back, you can still find, you actually buy a copy on Amazon of the Rand Corporation's monograph, its book, Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security. Preparing the U.S. Army? First of all, I mean, this is a title and a book that is just mired in controversy. Think about it, steeped, mired in controversy. Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security. First of all, why would you be using the U.S. Army in that fashion? Homeland Security is a word that was anathema in the American lexicon prior to September 11, 2001. You're admitting that you're planning on using this as as the RAND Corporation puts it, Homeland Security encompasses five distinct missions: domestic preparedness and civil support in case of attacks on civilians, continuity of government, yikes. Go back to the Iran-Contra scandal and Daniel Inouye's words from Hawaii. Continuity of military operations, again, yikes. Border and coastal defense and national missile defense. So you have kind of sandwiched in there tremendous concern, and all of that really underscored by Madison's words with regard to these issues. Madison said, in time of actual war, great discretionary powers are constantly given to the executive magistrate. Constant apprehension of war has the same tendency to render the head too large for the body. A standing military force with an overgrown executive will not be long safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. And fast forward, April, I believe, of 2001 was when the RAND Corporation published Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, Concepts, Issues, and Options. So that was a premeditated opportunistic
homeowners foreclosure expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit
published ahead of 9/11. Think about it.
Legal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Phone lines are open, by the way, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Let me dig out of this several rabbit holes that I've dug. So preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, to me, you string together the fact that, you know, the undeniable conclusion that Building 7 was controlled demolition. So that was premeditated, obviously. It was wired to be demoed. Well, then, logically, it stands to reason the Twin Towers could have been wired to be demoed, too. Does that not stand to reason? It's pretty simple. Then you factor in the fact that you can go to Amazon today and order, buy a copy of Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security. Homeland Security was a term, again, that was anathema prior to September 11, 2001. Then suddenly, George Bush appoints Tom Ridge director or secretary of Homeland Security. What in the world is Homeland Security? Is this Nazi Germany? That word was controversial. Should still be, really. But that controversy has subsided, as most do in time, because we're distracted and divided, and we just get herded into these persistent conflicts, these logical fallacies and red herring and straw man discussions that are misdirection and conflict. So you can get a copy of Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security Concepts, Issues, and Options, which is bizarre, but you can see on Amazon.com, publisher Rand Corporation published date April 9, 2001. April, May, June, July, August, September. Published 6 months in advance of September 11, 2001. Published 6 months in advance. So how long in advance, how far in advance does it have to be written to be published April 9, 2001? Again, clear evidence to me of premeditated opportunism, what I would call premeditated opportunism. It's despicable. So we need to root out these conflicts, define terms properly, and keep a watchful eye on those who would try to continue the intrigue and deception for gain or advantage. Let's root out the Machiavellianism in this culture. Let's get to what Jesus advocated. And, the love of the Beatitudes, for example. I believe this is why, Machiavellianism is, love is the antidote to it, I would say, in general terms. Anyway, not to get too far off track on that, but, the kind of love that Jesus outlined in the Beatitudes, for instance. Matthew chapter 5, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Bottom line, really, in this discussion is virtue, morality, and religion, as the founders said, and as has been discussed on this broadcast. A couple of quick points, and then we go to the phones. Virtue, morality, and religion, really, that's where we need to focus. Benjamin Franklin, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Again, Edward Abbey. Grown men do not need leaders. John Adams, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. You know, we've talked about that. Samuel Adams, the sum of all is if we would most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. Then shall we both deserve and enjoy it. While on the other hand, if we are universally vicious and debauched in our manners, I would say we're approaching that point in America. Though the form of our Constitution carries the face of the most exalted freedom, we shall in reality be the most abject slaves. I would argue that's where we are. George Washington, in his farewell address, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Patrick Henry perhaps said it best. Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. Whoever thou art, remember this, and in thy sphere practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others. The great pillars of all government and of all of social life are virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, my friend, and this alone that renders us invincible. Remember, it was Patrick Henry who wrote, virtue, morality, and religion, this is the armor, my friend, and this alone that renders us invincible. That is as true today as it was back in 1799 when he wrote those words. And that really is the issue. Getting back to the points that I was mentioning, Romans chapter 1, the condition that we find ourselves in. Paul wrote, of those people that he was writing, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now listen, if you really understand, for example, that we have been using white phosphorus in military campaigns for quite some time, a practice that is supposed to be banned by a number of peace conventions and so forth, the things that are done in the name of the United States military industrial complex, these words and the other controversies that we're mired in, these words seem to be fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That sounds like America, this shameful practice of just glorying in our shame. You see a lot of kids these days, not to pick on kids, but it seems to be funny and entertaining to glory in shame these days. 2 Timothy 3, as I mentioned earlier, I realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, as I said, that persistent selfishness, self-absorption, narcissism. And will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, Paul admonished and exhorted. And last but not least, 2 Peter 3, as I mentioned earlier, where Peter wrote, knowing this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, saying, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. But when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being preserved, are being reserved for fire, except for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So those are convicting words, and we have these conflicts all around us that seem to kind of dovetail to that selfishness or correlate to that selfishness. And, science as a religion, like I said, the NPR story, how to raise brilliant children according to science. The one story I was going to say, mention, we'll go to the phones, was the fact that you know, in contrast to NPR's story, how to raise brilliant children according to science, what about how the Bible says to raise your children? Well, forget about that. Forget about what has worked for hundreds or perhaps thousands of years. Here are a couple of, here's one distinguished developmental psychologist with decades of experience. Well, we should listen to her then, I suppose. So in contrast to that, as I've been saying, science or scientism, science as a religion, has been lauded as the new religion, science, scientism. Science can make the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the mute speak. Science is the new miracle maker. But I heard over the weekend a story of a woman who had been told by science, by doctors, she and her husband, that she would never have children. So they were making plans to adopt, and skipping to the point, short version of the story is she wound up getting pregnant, which is fantastic, and science was not involved. It was a miracle, and that's wonderful. So I think I would just summarize all of that by saying we need to leave room for God, obviously, first and foremost, as the miracle maker, and not science. But the Bible talks about that as well. Anyway, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Wes in Idaho. Wes, thanks for calling. Welcome. Ah, let's go back to the phones and grab Glenn in Philly. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
I can't. Oh, okay. I can hear you now. Okay. Listening to you quote those founders, but we are, man, we're in a bad place, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole narcissism thing, and a couple things. I mean, I always think, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, what was character? How was the world characterized in the time of Noah? The whole earth was filled with violence, you know, and just this selfishness.
God saw that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, which sounds like hyperbole, but it's making a point. It sounds excessive, but yeah, I absolutely agree.
We see this, I look at the way things work in the workplace, the way people relate in the workplace, and the things, you know, the way you treat each other. It's not just on the street. I mean, it's all over the place. But, and this whole thing, this ethical precept that, the ends justify the means. We have a consequentialist, utilitarian, situational ethics instead of deontological ethics, which is the law of God. And so once you relativize everything with consequentialist ethics, then you have the clarion call being the ends justify the means, which in the popular vernacular translates as it's okay to lie.
Yeah,
and everything becomes a lie.
Yep. Yeah. Is it me or is it ironic that folks will dispute this kind of thing? Like when you, I'm sure you probably have, I have, you make an investigation in these things and you start to kind of observe through the lens of what I would call Machiavellianism, this intrigue and deception for gain or advantage, and you start to see that virtually everything is colored in some degree or to some degree by that philosophy, that psychology, that behavior, and then you try to explain that to people and they want to argue and they haven't investigated and they really don't even know what they're arguing about.
It's so obvious. Look at this whole Volkswagen software speed changing scandal. Billions of dollars. Let's create software that lies about the emissions of our cars, and we'll never get caught. Bam! You know? TEPCO, General Electric, and all the cheating on the specs and the lies about Fukushima, and bam! What's up? I mean, when this infiltrates industry, people are cutting corners to create catastrophes. You know, it's not just a matter of people not getting along or civil lawsuits or something. There are real-world practical disasters that happen because of this stuff.
Yeah, yep, yeah. On a monumental scale, like you said, Fukushima is a great example.
Right, right. You talked earlier about defining terms. I called in to help you define terms. Homonym, homophone, blah, blah, blah. Homonyms, two kinds of homonyms, homophones and homographs. Homophones are M-E-A-T and M-E-E-T, two words that sound alike but are spelled differently and mean different things. And homographs are words that are spelled the same, like bow before someone versus tie a bow. That's a homograph. So, but Israel, in the context you were discussing it, is neither. It is merely, it's the same spelling, but an alternate denotation. You know, it's this modern Israel doesn't fit the criteria, the defining criteria of the original Israel. So it's sort of, it's the same word, but it's actually defined differently. And Ashkenazis, I mean, it's just, you know, I was thinking about the fact that the Ashkenazis rule the roost in Israel. Ashkenaz was a descendant of Japheth, not
exactly,
Shem.
Not Shem. Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
So consequently, they shouldn't be saying anti-Semite. They should say, you're an anti-Japhethite. They should
exactly.
be running around accusing everyone of being anti-Japhethites,
exactly.
not anti-Semites.
Exactly. And why can't we all, if you just read for yourself, everyone read, you can't come to any other conclusion. That's where the facts point.
The other thing I think is of Christ cursing the fig tree, you know, cursing the fig tree, and, you know, no fruit would ever come from it again. Even if you just look at modern Israel, we were always sold this idea of Israel as a modern miracle. God has brought Israel back. Even if he's brought them back, he's brought them back in unbelief, the same way they were scattered. And they're not going to change their minds until they see the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heavens.
Romans 11:25, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, brethren, that a partial hardening of the heart of Israel has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Yeah, Paul deals with that in Romans 9:10-11. Yep, absolutely.
Right. If we can be grafted in, how much more can they from the original branches
yep.
be grafted back in? So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That whole thing about the Sunday meeting, though, this whole church thing, this is, I'll tell you, there's certain people, talk about people who pin your ears back on certain concepts. Yeah, that Sunday thing's a problem because, you know, God took the time to carve in stone the seventh day, set it aside, to be set aside, the seventh day. So when you start worshiping in a thing called a church, which is Circe, you know, the pagan goddess. Like, why would the church ever accept the word church? I can't even begin. Ecclesia, sure. The assembly of the call out, has nothing to do with the goddess Circe, who lures men under her lair and turns them into pigs. It's the word church is almost as pagan as pagan as the word Easter. Why has the church? Sure. Why has the church embraced all this horrifically pagan mocking nomenclature? It's sad. I have no answer for it. You know, it's like, yep,
well,
you got me
yeah,
dead right
again.
There, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that controversy and the cognitive dissonance that arises as a result of it persists because we don't get to the root of these things like you're talking about. And
there's a guy named Craig Wynn who harps on that. And while I might disagree, you know, I'm eclectic in terms of my approach to people. You know, it's like, I'll agree with this, disagree with that, but he really pins the ears of the church back on that stuff. It's like, I cannot counter you. Sorry, I have no answer as to why anyone associated with honoring and worshiping the Messiah would allow all this pagan foolishness to creep in. I have no answer. Yes, it's a bad thing. Sorry about that. Or bad.
Yeah, and if you do your homework, I think at some point you come to kind of a Romans 14, Colossians 2 kind of place where Colossians 2:16, therefore no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to festival or new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. And then Romans 14, you know, Paul saying, with the faith which you have as your own conviction before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And so, you know, the day, like he says, you know, whether one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike, each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. You kind of get to the point where you go, it's just stuff. I understand. I just don't want to cause anyone else to stumble because of how I choose to, you know, walk out or live out my faith. And you know, you get to that, those controversies, you know, but yes, I mean, it's important to get to the root of that and to define terms and understand for each one of us, you know, for ourselves, what that means and how we will act accordingly. Going into a break, folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
If your home has hard water and it's leaving white spots, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes. Limescale can cost hundreds of dollars a year in wasted energy and early appliance breakdown. HydroCare systems available at Wave Home Solutions prevent and remove limescale with just a simple filter change every 3 years. There are no salts, chemicals, or magnetic coils. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, just go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, and we're on the phones with Glenn in Philly. Glenn, you mentioned Jesus cursing the fig tree, the cursing of the fig tree. And I thought it was interesting. You know, when you look at that story, they ask how. Kind of like, you know, you see this like kung fu theater almost experience. You know, he does this miracle, I think that casts miracle in a pejorative sense. I think I would call it something else. Anyway, what people call a miracle, and they ask how, and he talks about faith, but I wonder why they didn't ask why. Why did he curse it? Anyway, interesting, you know, but I think the disciples kind of look like Ninja Turtles to me. They, you know, while he's feeding the 5,000, they're arguing among themselves who is the greatest among them, and stuff like that. Anyway, I just thought interesting anecdotally.
Yeah, very unusual stuff. I tell you, just lamenting. One of my concerns is like today, everybody's thinking about this this thing with Comey, and you know, it's like, wow, when like all pretense of obedience to the law is just gone, you know. It's like, well, talk about subversion of the society. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When not these erstwhile leaders have no courage, will not do the right, that which is obviously right. They, you know, they're sold out, blackmailed, bought off. You know, wicked, cowardly wimps. I mean, you know, like who threatened Comey's family? What went on there? You know. The guy brings hundreds of, brings, you know, 150 agents out of retirement or something to investigate all this, and then articulates the most pathetically stupid idea that somehow intent has anything to do with it. If I get in a car accident and kill somebody, you know, it's involuntary manslaughter. The word, the lack of intent, involuntary, is right in the charge, the name of the charge, and you still go to jail, you know?
Yeah.
So even if Hillary committed involuntary, you know, misappropriation of classified material, it's still something for which you go to jail, because involuntary doesn't absolve you from responsibility.
Yeah, and that's all obviously set up. Again, speaking of the Machiavellianism, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's painfully obvious that, you know, when Attorney General Loretta Lynch says, I'm going to go with the FBI's recommendation, doesn't everyone already know the fix is in?
Yeah, well, he wasn't supposed to recommend...
Right.
A course of action. He was supposed to advise as to whether or not there was material there worthy of consideration. You know, right. Whether or not there was evidence. That's all he was supposed to recommend on. Whether or right. not there was evidence, sufficient evidence for it to be pursued.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.